This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hold on to that.
Welcome back to the Shit Show 2.0.
Okay, Boomer.
Damn millennials. Wow.
Did not know that.
Even flirters who are obviously mentally ill.
You want to be my wife?
Oh, this is going to go downhill real quick.
What is going on? And welcome to Take on the World with
John
and Mike D.
Hi, Mike D.
Hi, John. How are you, John?
Good. A lot better.
Well, we're back in the house again.
Back in the cave.
And this topic came up because
of Patty's Day?
St. Patty's Day.
You know, I was watching this thing on the Irish people are like, you don't say St. Patrick's Day. He's like, we just call it Patty's Day.
I just call it.
So everybody in the States calls it St. Patrick's Day.
I call it, where's my beer?
Yeah. Did you drink green beer?
No.
Yeah, neither did I.
I did that in Chicago once.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the river turn green and all that shit. When in St. Patty's Day in Chicago, it's a fucking trip, that place.
Yeah.
Anyway, the last few years for St. Patty's Day, we have gone down to Gettysburg, as I like to say.
Is it down or over?
It's whatever you call it.
Or down and over.
We go up to Gettysburg.
Is it back and to the left?
It's a couple, 2-3 miles. We go down there. We spend the weekend. And usually on Sunday, we'll drive through part of the battlefield, get out, walk at the battlefield a little bit. And
I love Gettysburg.
And we always have a good time.
That place is so cool.
It got me thinking, like, everybody knows Gettysburg. Like, but is there any obscure things that happened down there? Things that, like, nobody's heard of?
I doubt it.
Or things that most people haven't heard of. Like, if you're a diehard, you probably know all this stuff. You could probably turn it off. Or you can listen to us ramble on and act stupid.
No. Turn it on. Comment. I need comments. That's what fuels my body.
I am
especially negative comments.
I am feeding. Like, not everybody needs a podcast.
Have we got any negative comments on the stuff that we do?
Yeah.
I know. I think I remember like one, and I think it was directed towards you.
Probably.
Oh, that's what it was. I think it was. We were talking about if something ever happened to our kids.
Yes.
And like, we're like, listen, I'm not, you know, but
they call me fat and out of shape.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? And
fuck around and find out.
I'm going to go all Gerard Butler on your ass and, you know, do what it takes.
I'll suck down my porterhouse and stab you with the bone. Anyway, but before we get going, I want to talk about the Deluxe Edition Network.
Do it, man.
As we always do.
Preach, brother, preach.
We are a proud part of the Deluxe Edition Network. A group of podcasters get together, help each other out. We cross-promote each other. We sit on each other's podcast from time to time. And just like I had 2 different podcasts on doing the wrestling injuries.
Which I was not a part of. I was supposed to be, but I couldn't make it.
Which is one of the negative comments I got. Because I misspoke about something, about some place that somebody wrestled. And when he said it, I'm like, oh, you know what? I was wrong. And so I commented back to him. I was wrong. You're right. I misspoke. So anyway, Deluxe Edition Network, go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. While you're there, check out the podcast of the month. They always have them. And for the month that this podcast is released, these are your podcasts of the month. The Steve and Crypto Show podcast is a Rondo Award-nominated podcast that covers pop culture, horror, featuring great interviews, conversations, special guest segments with creators, entertainments from all mediums, while keeping a sense of humor. Why not opt for a simple pleasure of a cup of Coffee Brothers coffee? The socially acceptable way to tackle Mondays without the HR headache. So grab a cup, take a sip, and conquer the day, one delicious drop at a time. Coffee Brothers sources seasonal, award-winning, and specialty coffees, focusing on high-scoring and high-quality blends, espresso roasts, and single-origin coffees, which are all small-batch roasted. Experience complex taste notes from fragrant and aromatic to bold and rich. Coffee Brothers Coffee is a two-person brother team, hence the name. They roast all of their coffees in small batches out of their New York City roastery. Go to coffeebros.com and use TOTW10 for discount at checkout. And we're back.
Hey! I had to take a giant gulp of soda.
Yeah. So check out those podcasts of the month. And then when you're done with that, come back and check us out. This is episode, I believe,
153. 120. You know what? I think we should really, I don't know. I wish we could enhance the sound quality from our first 10 episodes. 20, 30, I don't know.
Probably 20. But alas,
here we are in all of our glory, fame, fortune.
So we are doing
Scrooge McDuck swimming in my gold coins at night.
Unusual and obscure facts about Gettysburg and the Battle of Gettysburg. But I'm going to give a little background about the Battle of Gettysburg to start off. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Do you want to throw anything in?
Not at this time, Your Honor.
Okay. The Battle of Gettysburg began Wednesday, July 1st, 1863. It's almost the exact midpoint of the Civil War. I think a lot of people think Gettysburg was like towards the end.
I think this is the furthest north they went, wasn't it? The Confederates went? It's not on the railroad map.
It's not.
It ended right here.
Well, I'm looking. That's Berks County anyway. I'm not sure. Good question.
Anyways, don't get hung up on the question.
You do that to me and it bugs me because I don't know.
I'm like retarded till it comes up with bizarre questions to ask that stump you.
Well, it does two things. Number one, where did you find that very good question?
I think I heard it somewhere.
Number two, fuck you, because there's a question that I don't have the answer to.
So when, in my early 20s, when I'd be sitting on the couch, I'd always watch the History Channel. And the History Channel back then, it wasn't like Ancient Aliens and stuff like it is now. And it was always World War II films, like black and white documentary films and film footage from World War II, or stuff about the Civil War. And so I just sit there and absorb all that information. So I somewhere think I heard that was as far north as they ever went. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. So the first shot, what they call first shot, was fired northwest of the town early in the morning as advancing Confederates ran into cavalry's pickets. Although exactly when and where is a matter of intense debate. It continued till Friday, July 3rd, with the repulse of Pickett's charge and Stuart's attempt to drive around Meade's flank and into his rear. Wow. Each of the 3 days saw intense fighting in and around the city. The armies remained facing each other on the battlefield on July 4th. There were minor skirmishes, some casualties, but it did not escalate into major fighting. And it is usually considered, not usually considered part of the battle. So Gettysburg was the bloodiest battle of the Civil War.
How do they measure that? Just by bodies that were Excuse me. Everybody want to hear me crunch on my ice?
No, nobody wants to hear that.
So,
Johnny, jump ahead. Next line.
Are you serious?
It is estimated.
That's fucking good. That's classic.
It is estimated there were at least 45,000 and possibly as many as 51,000 casualties in the two armies of Gettysburg. Now, I got to pull up that little chart.
Hold on. That's not Johnny Jump Ahead.
Yeah.
This doesn't answer my question.
Yeah. And the number of casualties, that's how they count it.
That's how they determined it was the bloodiest?
Yes. And I'm going to give you the stats.
Okay.
Because that chart didn't copy over very well into my teleprompter. But I think it's important to see this because
it's a meat grinder.
There's something in here that I consider an obscure fact. So when they say casualty, a casualty is killed, wounded, or missing.
Okay? Missing, i.e. turned into baloney mist.
So the Union lost dead 3,150 soldiers. Wounded was 14,500. This is in 3 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Missing 5,165 for a total of 22,815 casualties. I want to know how you go missing in this battle.
Like I said, you turn into baloney mist. Like you get hit with a mortar, and you just...
So 5,000 of them got baloney misted?
I would think, dude. I mean...
When I think missing, I think MIA.
Running away? I don't think... I'm sure you have a ton of that as well.
But you think
you're in tight formation, right? Shoulder to shoulder, pretty much. Lines and lines. And they're just lobbing cannonballs, explosives at you, left after right.
Maybe it was bodies they couldn't identify.
Yeah, maybe your head got blown off and you just...
You
don't know who you are.
I found the 5,165 missing, like, telling. Odd. So the confettis, they lost, killed, 4,400 soldiers. They had 12,950 wounded and 5,350 missing for a total of 22,700 casualties.
Wow.
So officially on this list, it's 45,515 casualties.
That's just carnage.
Yeah. Yes. 3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
So like the total between both of them, all three categories, was just over the entire amount of the same in the whole war of Vietnam.
In 3 days.
In 3 days. Wow. How long was the Vietnam War? 10 years?
Not quite 10 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. 3 freaking days and just... I can't even imagine like the noise and the chaos, the smoke and the smell. Well, it must have been hell on earth.
So they say it's impossible to calculate the exact number because the missing and incomplete records.
Sure.
This estimate is one of the more conservative and probably significantly understates Confederate missing and wounded. Because I don't know if they reported it the same way.
Just the fact that we're like under 2 hours from this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go visit and like see and touch history.
Well, we always go to Devil's Den. Yeah. And I'll walk through the Devil's Den. They have stairs there now going up the side. I'll walk up to the statue. And you can look where they were shooting this way. They were shooting this way. It was, and you could just see the field. And it's quiet. And you just, all you hear is the wind. It's surreal.
Yeah, it was the first time I was there. We were over by, I think it was what do they call it? The something field, the hay field, the cornfield.
Hey.
It's right by the church. Just went like one small church that was up on the hill. But anyways, you know, on a beautiful freaking day. Actually, it was the same day that the war, that battle started. So it was god awfully hot, but it was gorgeous. Nice sunny day, very humid. And again, I'm thinking, I'm like, man, could you imagine like having all that wool uniform on and like having to do something like fight in that heat? But anyways, I got my foot up on the picket fence and I'm just like chilling, like looking out at the battlefield, you know, just daydreaming. And all of a sudden the fucking the wooden pole broke. I went fucking ass over teacups into the battlefield. And some lady like across the street was on her bike and she's like, oh my God. She's like, that man broke the fence and he broke into the battlefield. And she got on her phone and she like started making a phone call. And I'm like, oh shit. Oh, and I got up and I like tried to put the piece of wood, but it was broken. And I just dropped him like, let's get out of here. And we just like left real quick. And I was like, fuck. I'm like, I've been here for 10 minutes. I'm going to get arrested already. And what the fuck? I'm like, that's my luck.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, I fall into the fucking battlefield. Like, do no trespassing or you will be prosecuted. Is that trespassing?
I didn't this do it fence purpose. Is unsafe.
Yeah. I should have sued him. Been like a total Karen. I broke my leg. I'm a casualty of the war.
John Toe, final casualty. Gettysburg War. So who was in charge? George Meade took over command of the Army of the Potomac just 3 days before the Battle of Gettysburg, when Joseph Hooker abruptly resigned. Until then, Meade had command of the Army's 5th Corps. The Gettysburg campaign started almost a month before the battle on June 8th, over 100 miles away, along the Rapidan River in Virginia.
Was that river where that sniper was at?
I don't know.
Remember that episode we covered?
Mm.
That sounds really familiar.
You know what? It might be.
He just hold out in the woods, like just shooting the fuck out of Confederates?
It might be. Was that Virginia?
It is now.
Okay.
I don't know.
It began with the Battle of Brady Station, the biggest cavalry battle of the Civil War. So the Battle of Gettysburg started on July 1st, but it was not the first time the Confederates had...
You got a gong over there?
Yeah, something like that.
Host a break of time.
It was not the first time the Confederates had been to Gettysburg. Advance guards of Lee's army, Jubal's early division of the 2nd Corps marched through town on June 26th on the way to Wrightsville on the Susquehanna River. There was a brief clash west of Gettysburg with emergency militia and cavalry skirmish on the Baltimore Pike.
You know what I like to look at those reenactments of, like, they'll show a map of the battlefield and they'll show like the little, say the enemy's blue, in this case, you know, Union's blue, Confederate's red, and they'll show like the troop arrangements and they'll have the arrows and they just show the thing, how the battlefield folded and unfolded and moved around. And that always confused me. And I'm like, well, I guess that shows that I absolutely knew nothing about battlefield tactics and I probably would have gotten everybody killed. But yeah, it's just interesting that we'll see that play out like that. And it always, when you look at it, makes no sense to me anyways. And I'm like, how is that? That doesn't look tactical at all.
No. When standing up on the top of that hill, looking in two different directions, I'm wondering who would put their soldiers in this position?
Yeah. Is that the one that's like, it's like that rocky field?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Little Round Top is like, if you're standing on top of that hill, Devil's Den is right below you here. Like right below you. Mm-hmm. You can walk 50 feet and get there. Little Round Top is over here. And then standing there, you can see.
There you go.
It's off camera. You dick.
Thank God.
Over here. And then the cannons are pointed across a field up to a...
Where were they pointed?
across a field up to a farmhouse on this side.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, you're taking shots from two different directions.
Yeah.
That's danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that visual map of how the battle moved, especially right there at Devil's Den.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So the first Union soldier died at Gettysburg. He was killed on June 26th, 5 days before the first shot of the battle was fired.
How did he get killed?
Well, let's talk about it. Private George Sando, a native of Gettysburg, was killed on Baltimore Pike in a skirmish with Confederate cavalry screening the advance of Early's division. Sando Cavalry Company became part of the 21st Pennsylvania Cavalry Regiment, whose monument is along Baltimore Pike, where Sando was shot.
Hmm.
So that advance party that came in
shot him.
Shot him. This is uninteresting to me, but there's no standard time. Mm-hmm. So each town really kept its own time according to the moon phase where they were. So watches of the observers of the same event often showing very different times of when everything happened.
Okay.
Synchronize your watches.
You know, it's, I think this was kind of common in the battlefields of Civil War, but I want to say there was pictures like families would go out and picnic and watch the battlefield. Like they would sit up on a hill and the battlefield would be down in the thing. And there's like cartoon renditions or, drawings of like, a dad, mom, kids, the whole fam, right? And they got the picnic sitting on a blanket and they're just out there watching the battle. And can you imagine that?
No.
Oh, that's crazy. You catch a stray bullet or something. What do you want to do today, hon? I don't know. Let's go watch like 7,000 men get killed.
Jeez. Around 2,500 civilians were in the battle area. One 70-plus-year-old John Burns is honored by a statue on the battlefield
Smithers.
For grabbing his musket and joining the Union troops in the fight on July 1st west of town, where he was wounded. As early Confederates moved through larger towns such as Gettysburg and York, community leaders were strongly encouraged to contribute supplies and cash to the Confederate cause in exchange for lenient treatment. York was squeezed for $28,000.
Wow.
The money was taken back to Virginia in the care of the Confederate Second Corps Commissary of Sustenance, Major Wells Hawk.
I think I said such cool names back then.
And that person is actually a relative of the author of the website that I got this stuff from. And I have the website listed below, so I'll give you that then, because it was really interesting. There's a lot of good information on this website.
Did you talk to anybody while you were there?
Not really.
I mean, I know you go there and there's always, they do a really, really excellent job of having park rangers walking around.
Yeah,
they're a wealth of knowledge.
We usually drive the battlefield.
Okay.
Until we get to a spot that we want to stop. And like I said, we usually stop at Devil's Den, and then we stop, because it was St. Paddy's Day, at the, there's a Celtic cross.
Okay.
And we stopped at Celtic Cross and we took our picture there.
Did you go to the Jenny Roe Wade house?
What's that?
She was the only female casualty of Gettysburg.
Do they have beer there?
Oh, and I think it's like a bed and breakfast.
We probably weren't there then.
Yeah, she took a stray bullet to the stomach. I think she was pregnant too.
Wow.
And she was the first female or the only female casualty of the Civil War, United States Civil War.
Hmm.
Anywho.
The oldest general officer at Gettysburg was Confederate Brigadier General William Smith, who was 65. He fought on Culp's Hill against the oldest Union general on the field, Brigadier General George Green, who was 62.
Is there still such a thing as a brigadier general?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that means. What's brigadier mean?
It has something to do with brigates and deer.
Is that like a brisket?
Yeah, brisket. He makes deer brisket. Where am I? The Confederate wagon train of wounded sent back to Virginia after the battle was 17 miles long.
Wow.
It was held up by the floodwaters at the Potomac at Williamsport, Maryland, and had to defend itself against Union cavalry in the Wagoneer fight. Not just humans suffered. More than 3,000 horses were killed at Gettysburg.
Jesus.
Wow. Linda Lester?
Leister? Leister? I'd say Leister.
Who owned a small farmhouse by George Meade's headquarters, found 17 dead horses in her yard.
Damn.
The only comparison for the extreme damage to her property, or the only compensation for the extreme damage to her property, was selling the bones at a half cent per pound. Abandoned weapons. 37,574 rifles laying on the battlefield were collected after the battle.
Could you imagine having one of those to this day?
Yeah. 24,000 of them were still loaded.
Holy shit.
6,000 had one round in a barrel. 12,000 had two rounds in a barrel.
Wow.
6,000 of them had 3 to 10 rounds in the barrel.
Isn't that crazy?
What they were doing is they would load it. They'd pull the trigger. They see the flash, think it fired, load it again, pull the trigger, see the flash, and they just keep loading it. It would stack them up.
Yeah. And it was just like, they said it was so loud you couldn't distinct if your gun was actually going off or not. So, yeah, can you imagine that? You think you're just shooting away and like you're not.
That's crazy.
You're just plugging your barrel full of more lead. More. Did I say that right? Maw lead.
Battle of Gettysburg is one of the most significant engagements of the Civil War. Is rich with historical detail. Here are some of the lesser known facts about this pivotal battle. So this is what I wanted to get into. The other stuff was just some things I found about the battle. The weapons on the ground and the dead horses could have gone any unusual facts for me too, because like I didn't know that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I understand what happened with the rifles, but I didn't know there was that many.
I didn't either.
That's crazy.
I know there is a. I don't know if you talk about this, but maybe you want me to wait, and I'll just mention it if you don't.
No, I just jump over it if you pick up one.
All right. So there's, I forget what house it is, but it's really popular. It was, I guess, a family lived there, pretty well-to-do family. The Confederates came in, kicked them out, and it was like a Confederate hospital. And I think they have it set up to this day as like the way it would have been back then when they seized it. And it was a sniper den in the attic as well. And you look on the outside of the house still to this day, there's musket holes and all around the windows of the attic.
Right.
And they did a, what the hell is that? A luminol test on the walls. And you can see like blood on the walls yet. It's been long washed away, but it's still residue of like when the guy got shot up there and he's like, you know, clinging to the wall or whatever. But, yeah, they said that they would have had the kitchen table with a chopping up a horse for food and giving it to their soldiers. So that's basically what they did. They just commandeer your house, kick you out, and then use it as for whatever they wanted.
So funny side story. While we were down there, the one guy was there with his fiance. His fiance is from Eastern Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And her family had to flee the country because it was war-torn. And when they met, he goes, oh, we can go to Gettysburg and I can show you a house with that still has musket balls in it. And she looked at him and she goes, I can show you a million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or something like it was something like that. It was funny because like you don't think about that.
Right.
Like some people still live like that.
Yeah.
And like I go down there and I'm amazed that there's still musket balls in the bricks. And
yeah. I used to work with a guy who he got caught metal detecting the Gettysburg battlefield. Right. And
a big sign, no relic hunting.
Yeah. Well, he was going at nighttime and he had night vision goggles and, you know, he was dressed in all black. What he was doing, he would like park in this like real remote location, but not super, super remote. And I guess a cop drove by and just, that's kind of weird. Just like the second day in a row, this car's been here. So I guess he chalked his tires or whatever, waited for him. And he came out, all his gear and shit, and they fucking arrested him. And I don't know if he ratted his partner out, and they raided his house. And they were telling me, no, I don't know, I didn't see it, but he legit was like in trouble. And he ratted his partner out, and they seized like all kinds of shit, relics from his fucking house. And the guy was weird. He was just a goofball. Like didn't come off as very smart, just kind of like a dumbass and just a real goofy looking character. And yeah, I think he was looking at like 25 years in prison.
Wow.
And that's a federal crime.
Yeah.
And he freaking ratted his partner out. And I don't think he served one day in jail. He had to pay all kinds of heavy fines, though. Yep. Ah, what the fuck was that guy's name? I won't say it on air. I just remember his nickname.
His nickname is Jailbird.
Yeah.
So, friendly fire in Gettysburg.
Mm.
During Pickett's charge on the third day of the battle, Confederate troops mistakenly fired upon their own men due to confusion in the smoke and chaos on the battlefield, which I'm sure that's not the only time that happened.
God, that's got to suck.
It's got to suck when you realize you were shooting at your own people. And it's got to suck if you're one of your own people getting shot at.
And you know it's friendly fire?
No, mother suckers.
Mm.
Signal Corps. The Battle of Gettysburg witnessed the first battlefield use of the U.S. Army Signal Corps to send messages via signals, signal flags, torches, and a precursor to the modern military communication methods.
Huh.
Which I found pretty cool because
that is.
I didn't know that's where it was initiated.
Man, could you imagine like changing things now? Like if you like you want your mortar squad, or your cannoneers, whatever they're called, like, oh, we need them up on this hill. And you got to get all that heavy ass equipment. How long that must have taken? Ugh.
And no just hooking it up to a truck and pulling it up there.
Right, yeah.
Lee's battle plans. Lee's battle plans for Gettysburg, known as Special Order Number 191, were
It's not at your Chinese restaurant.
Was that?
It's not what you order at your Chinese restaurant.
Were wrapped around three cigars and lost. They were found by Union soldiers and provided General George G. Meade with critical intelligence about Lee's intentions.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a genius way to send your messages in case you get captured. Nobody really looks at a cigar ring.
Yeah.
They just toss them out.
Oh, it was actually wrapped up like a cigar?
It was wrapped around cigars.
Oh, I thought they like put three cigars and then wrapped the thing around it. That makes more sense. So it's disguised as your battle plans are disguised as a cigar.
Yeah. A cigar ring.
Ring.
That's how I took it. Wrapped around three cigars and lost.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Even better.
horses lost. Battle resulted in the death of approximately 3,000 horses, highlighting the immense scale and impact of the conflict beyond human casualties. Didn't we just say it was more than that?
I think you said 37.
No, 3,000. Said more than 3,000. Witness tree. A sycamore tree located on Cemetery Ridge, known as the Witness Tree, survived the battle and served as a landmark during the fighting. It still stands today as a symbol of resilience and endurance. That's crazy.
Dang.
Artillery barrage. The Battle of Gettysburg featured one of the largest artillery barrages of the Civil War, with hundreds of cannons on both sides unleashing a relentless bombardment that shook the landscape and caused widespread destruction.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah. Well, you just walk around that battlefield. It just, I'm sure there was more cannons than are there now. And just the number of cannons are there now as displays is like, it's crazy.
Yeah, there was probably thousands of cannons.
After the battle, local citizens and soldiers worked tirelessly to bury the dead. This effort led to the establishment of the Gettysburg National Cemetery, where thousands of Union soldiers were laid to rest, including
what's the problem?
It doesn't make any sense. Including Abraham Lincoln's famous Gettysburg Address?
Yeah.
His Gettysburg Address was buried there?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what it says.
Is that true?
Must be. It's on the screen.
It was on the internet. Bonjour.
I mean, why not a better place? You think it'd be in a museum.
That's what I would think.
And, maybe the originals. Yeah, they buried it there. They gave it a formal burial.
Amputation pit. The makeshift hospitals were set up after the battle were overwhelmed with wounded soldiers. Amputations were common due to the severity of injuries. Piles of severed limbs accumulated outside field hospitals, creating what became known as the amputation pit. That had to be nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we go. This answers my missing question. Despite the intense loyalty and commitment often associated with Civil War soldiers, desertions were not uncommon. Some soldiers deserted their units during the battle, chaos of battle, seeking safety or fleeing from the horrors of combat.
Hmm. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey escaped. That one movie? That's a really good, I think
it was, I like that movie.
Free State of Jones.
Free State of Jones, yeah.
Like the opening scene is, you're like, holy shit. Wow. And then, you know, I guess he left because his freaking cousin or his nephew was fighting, and he's like trying to get him out of there.
Wasn't he a Confederate soldier?
Yeah. But yeah, he tried to get him into the where they're doing the amputations to take care of him, and they like shoved him out of there. Like, he's just a boy. Only officers and the important people.
Unfinished railroad. The Gettysburg Railroad cut, which played a strategic role in the battle, was actually an unfinished railroad project. The incomplete nature of the cut provided cover for troops and influenced the flow of the battle. So those were the, like the 10 that I found, but there was another thing that I came across that it amazed me.
Yeah.
So there was no like standardized permanent medals for anything at the time. And I don't know if this was, where's my, let me just go down and read it because it, I don't want to get it wrong.
No one will ever know anyways. We'll just misinform about four people.
Until the Civil War, no permanent decoration was available for United States Army. On March 3rd, 1863, the Medal of Honor was authorized for members of the Army. So during the Battle of Gettysburg, 64 men received the Medal of Honor for their actions at Gettysburg.
Wow.
And I pulled two of them out just because I found them interesting. Jefferson Coates, Sergeant, Company H, 7th Wisconsin Infantry, issued June 29th, 1866. July 1st,
Boscobel,
Wisconsin, Grant County, Wisconsin, for unsurpassed courage in battle, where both his eyes were shot out.
God damn.
Then this one.
I'm assuming he did not survive that.
I don't know if these were posthumous.
Dude, if you got both your eyes shot out with a musket and you survived, either you got a very tiny brain or you're one tough son of a bitch.
Yeah. So Richard Enderlin, he was a musician, Company B, 73rd Ohio Infantry, issued September 11th, 1897. On July 1st and 2nd, he voluntarily took a rifle and served as a soldier in the ranks during the first and second days of the battle. Voluntarily and at his own imminent peril, went into the enemy lines at night and under sharp fire to rescue a wounded comrade. That comrade was Private George Nixon of Company B, who was the great-grandfather of President Richard Nixon.
I am not a crook. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And there were some other ones in here. Like a lot of them were the standard bearer dropped the flag. This guy ran out, picked it up, and charged on.
Yeah.
Or the Confederates almost got our colors. He wrestled it away and charged on. You know, a bunch of them were for just grabbing the colors and going.
Huh.
But I can bring them up and we can.
Man, like, you know what, dude? I commend all these, both sides. Like, could you imagine?
No.
Just walking into a wall of lead?
No.
Like, what the fuck do you do? Like, I would just assume I'm going to get blown to pieces. And then to survive that, you're like the lucky one that didn't get hit?
You see, Morris Brown Jr., capture of a flag. Hugh Carey, capture the flag of the 7th Virginia Infantry, twice being wounded in the effort.
So, yeah, that very important, man. That's a morale booster. You see them.
Yeah.
You see Old Glory go down. That's like defeat.
Casper Carlisle saved the gun of his gun battery under heavy musketry fire.
Musketry.
Most of the horses were being killed and drivers wounded. Joshua Chamberlain, daring heroism and great tenacity in holding the position of Little Round Top against repeated assaults, carrying the advanced position on Great Round Top. Harrison Clark seized the colors and advanced with them after the color bearer had been shot. John Klopp, captured the flag of the 9th Virginia Infantry, wrestling it from the color bearer.
No shit.
Jeffrey Coates. Oh, that was both eyes shot out. Let's see. Roll.
There's the musician.
George Doerr. The colors being struck down by a shell as the enemy were charging. The soldier rushed out, seized the flag, exposing himself to fire from both sides.
That takes a lot of balls.
Benjamin Falls, capture of flag.
Wow.
Let's see. Is there anything else here that sticks out?
You got any totes in there?
I did not read all the names.
Like, he was in the brig. He was stealing food from the mess hall. Damn it.
He was the official food taster. This one's long. Holy crap.
Major Hinks do.
William Hinks, Sergeant Major. During the high water mark of Pickett's charge on July 3rd, the colors of the 14th Tennessee Infantry were planted 50 yards in front of the center of Sergeant Major Hicks' regiment. There were no Confederates standing near it, but several were laying down around it. Upon a call for volunteers, Major Ellis, by Major Ellis to capture the flag, this soldier and two others leapt the wall. One companion was instantly shot. Sergeant Major Hicks outran the remaining companion, running straight and swift for the colors amidst a storm of shot. Swinging his saber over the prostrate Confederate and uttering a terrific yell, he seized the flag, hastily returned the lines. The 14th Tennessee carried 12 battle honors on its flag. The devotion to duty shown by Sergeant Major Hicks gave encouragement to many of the comrades at a crucial battle in a moment.
Okay, hold on.
Moment of battle.
What I just totally was on cloud nine when you said that whole thing. I was thinking of something about
food.
Yeah, yes. What are we doing for dinner? No, I was thinking about. I'll mention it here in a second, but I didn't hear what you said. Why did he get the? Why did he get the?
Basically, their flag was planted out in front of them, about 50 yards. There were Confederate soldiers around it. The Confederate soldiers were trying to get their flag, and Major Ellis told him, get our flag. They jumped over the wall. He ran out with his sword yelling and got the flag and brought it back.
Dude, that's so cool.
I don't know why that one has such a long explanation compared to the rest.
Yeah, I think I spaced out there for a second, but what I was thinking about was, have you ever heard, it's the AI rendition of what a rebel yell would have been?
No.
It's fucking creepy. You ever hear of like the Aztec death whistle? They did an AI thing of what it's like, this little whistle. It's like constructed out of bone.
Oh,
they would just blow into it. And
I thought they put it in their mouth, but there were some of the Aztecs that actually had it embedded in their throat.
Oh, that would be crazy. If that's true, that's fucking awesome.
Or am I thinking of bone tomahawk?
I think you're thinking of bone tomahawk. Okay. But anyway, so I don't want to get too much in the end. This is off topic, but the rebel yell, it's like they would it have been like 1,000, 2,000. Maybe we can look it up and put it on here. I know it doesn't really have too much to, but it is the U.S. Civil War, and it's kind of cool. It's just to hear that. And I've seen, actually, they interviewed a Confederate soldier. And they're like, what did it sound like when you do the yell? How would you do it? And he started doing it. And
keep going.
But you think of like 1,000 guys doing his terrifying sound. Terrifying. Yeah, I love the Civil War history. There's just so much of it. And it's just fascinating. I want to talk about two or three more parts to this. I don't know if you have them written down, but God, why did that show up?
What?
The Schwarzenegger Arnold rainbows.
I don't know.
That's so stupid. Oh my God. Oh, of course. That's why. Another show in Billy Idol. Oh, they were all doing. Maybe it was an AI.
What the rebel yell sounded like. How long is that? That's 3 minutes.
Three. That one's 4.5. That one's 39 seconds.
Okay, let's play that one.
All right.
Okay.
a bunch of wild coyotes. That's not the one I remember. God, are we? Oh, shit.
Sounds like they were kayaking down the, down the river.
You sure do got a pretty mouth. Oh, my God.
You hope you brought extra butter. Yeah, that's not the one I remember. The other one was just, I think it was AI.
Okay. And, well, that was.
It like starts off the same, like one guy doing it, and then it just, it's like it's 1,000 guys, and you hear like the rushing of their feet, like stomping on the ground, and you just think of like, holy fuck, we're going to die. And I have 8 bullets plugged in my barrel.
It's like that Polynesian dance thing that they do. The battle dance. You ever see
that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's that one? Rugby team. The Australian All Blacks. I'm sorry, the New Zealand All Blacks. They do that battle cry before every game. It's like, okay.
It's intimidating.
Like they're going to rip our heads off and eat us. I'm going to be spitting on a roast over a fire. Yeah. So
anyway, that just touches the top of some of the unusual things. And
yeah. Well, hold on. I wanted to say a couple more things.
Okay, go ahead. You go, boy.
I'm going to make this too long. I'm going to butcher this a little bit because it's been a while. But I seem to remember that there was one of the generals or something that can make decisions. He was told to like sit still or do something. And he's like, no, no, no. I got this. And I think it's they call it like the fish hook. I might be getting this wrong, but it was a complete disaster. And he wound up like killing his whole fucking regiment or a lot of people. And it was in the cornfield. And they said it was like, you know, or maybe it was wheat. I think it was the wheat field. But anyways, it was like as tall as we are. And there was a famous, I don't know, colonel, general, something. But he would wear a red bandana. Or he would wear a black bandana. This time he decided he wanted to wear red. But he basically kept charging into this freaking tall grass and like just killing everyone. And then he got hit like a million times, kept coming out. And then like, you know, I think he died in the battle. But I was wondering if he was on that Medal of Honor.
Oh, I don't know.
I'd have to search his name and just do like red bandana, wheat field or cornfield or something. But it was like, it was considered pretty much a disaster on the Union's part because the guy disobeyed orders. And I think they demoted him and kicked him out of the Gettysburg or something.
They should have de-headed him.
Yeah, but he fucked up big time. But I think they said that was the bloodiest moment of the Gettysburg. Because it was all concentrated right there. And it was like, it's just unbelievable, man. It's like, I sit to myself and I think, I'm like, I can't even imagine just the, if you were to sit on top of a hill and like watch this battle unfold, just the thousands and the sound and the noise and the vibration and the concussion. That must have been just one hell of a fucking thing. But did you ever go into the museum that's there? Well, there's a couple museums, but it's the big like national museum,
the visitor center.
Yeah,
yeah, I've been in there.
That's super cool. And you look at the uniforms; they look like children's uniforms. These guys must have been so small.
I know
they were all malnourished, and you know they didn't have uniforms this size. And
imagine if you had a Barrett 50.
Oh my God!
And you were a mile away and just taking out Confederates.
One after the other. You had a couple of those and some like MG42s on a hilltop somewhere, just raining down freaking 30 caliber.
Nobody could get to you.
Freaking rockets, airplanes.
Nope, just one Barrett.
Or an A-10.
One Barrett, you could have made that war 3 hours long.
You just slice through like 10 guys at once.
You take out the leaders, they're going to stop fighting.
You know, he said that. You know who the leader is? It's a guy who's always pointing the finger. He's still holding a clipboard or pointing the finger. Or has a white hat on. That's what Carlos Hathcock said. And he crawled something for like 3 days into this encampment. And he's like, shit, I don't know which one to kill. And then he's like, oh, there he is. He's the one he was like pointing. So he took him out. The place was like a hornet's nest. And he's like, they were literally stepping over me. And they never found him. He crawled back out, made his escape. Anyways, yeah, that's interesting, man.
I thought it was interesting since I was just down there, and like I get down there and I get nostalgic and
for the
lore of Gettysburg, and I was wondering, I mean, what kind of obscure stories can I find from down there? And I've just found these obscure facts. I still would like to find some obscure like stories about individuals and what they went through there. So, but we took on weird things, unusual things from Gettysburg and the Civil War. Now you go take on the world.
Hey, this is Sammy from Barrel Age Chicks, and I'm here with Yen.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Yen?
I'm feeling amazing.
Yes, you are. Well, what we're here to do today is talk about where you can find Barrel Age Chicks. You can find us on Google Podcasts,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
Anchor,
and Good Pods.
Yep.
On the Barrel Age Chicks, we have myself, Sammy. We have
Yen,
of course. And then we have Snow, Crystal, and Harley.
Yep.
We enjoy talking about everything from movies to being current moms to being just the ladies of the Barrel Age Flicks boys and their shenanigans in general.
Please join us without kids. Thank you.
Yes, our podcast is explicit content, so it is definitely not for little ears. But come out, let your hair down, and hear the chick side of things.
Whoop, whoop.
It's a shit show.
Please join us. We need some mom time.